Thanks, Richard. I'll be fine. All right, good. Where did I get rigged? That's where I start, I'll pray. Lord God, I thank you for this opportunity to come and glorify your name and to use for you to use me, for your voice to speak through me and to give hope into seemingly hopeless situations. I thank you for my life and I thank you for the people here in this church today. And I pray your blessing on us next few moments. In Jesus' name, amen. Right. Did you know that one of the key indicators to spiritual maturity is controlling your tongue? Right? So, I tried something new this week. I had a game, a silent tennis. It's like normal tennis, but without the racket. Praise God. Have I got you, aye? Yeah, right. There's not a person in this room who hasn't in one way or another been through some stuff. Huh? We've all been through stuff. Some crazier than others, but we've all been in that place as a brokenness and a dark and reached out to God. Now, again, we all mess up from time to time, but it's just sometimes obvious to see in some people's lives than it is others. My two oldest kids were born in 1995 and 96. And up to this point, I was working hard and life was good. One night, sitting down the harbour in my G-Reg Rover in about 96, 97, I was introduced to heroin. And guess what? I tried some. And guess what? I liked it. I got high. I got addicted. I started to lose friends. I started to lose jobs. Started to lose my family. And losing myself. I didn't like what I had become. I didn't know who I was anymore, apart from the fact that I was a full-blown heroin addict with alcoholism thrown into the deal. Buckfast Bill for Gallahill. That was my identity back then. Fast forward to 2004, and I'd had enough. So through the Solid Rock Cafe, I entered the Teen Challenge program on November the 4th, 2004. My first time clean. First time for a long time I was having to do what others told me to do. I couldn't please myself anymore. Be here at this time. You can't do this at that time. What? I mean, you walk through that door of Teen Challenge and you're stripped of every creature comfort you've got. And it's like a set of rules, a timetable you have to go by. But you've got to see the bigger picture. It's installing discipline in your life. It's installing structure in your life, routine, all that sort of stuff. And all that stuff I didn't hear before. Because I was just focused on heroin, getting high, and leaving my feelings behind me. Anyway, I remember sitting with Paul Ritchie in the tuck shop up in Sunny Bray on the 16th of November, 2004. And inviting Jesus into my life. This was to be the start of quite a mental journey for me. Now, I finished the program, but I wouldn't say I took my relationship with God that serious. A couple of years later, my life took a dive. My life took a dive into deep, deep deep darkness. For out of the blue, I was accused of sexually abusing my own daughter. Not to forget attempted murder, kidnapping. Everything fell apart in my life. What I had left of my life at this point was in destruction mode. I remember being arrested. I remember the questions I was being asked. All I wanted to do was go to sleep and never wake up to make my next hit my last hit. And to be honest, I wasn't a fan of Jesus at this point. God, what had I done to deserve this? 1 minute my kids were in my life, the next minute they'd vanish from me. So the next 10 years of my life would be absolute madness for me. My drug use going to a whole new level. During this time, I had another daughter, Sienna. And I tried to hold it together, but no. I was back into Sunny Bray again in 2015. And only really this time committed to saving my relationship with Sienna's mum. We got together again. I graduated from the Teen Challenge program the day before my 40th birthday, March the 18th, 2016. A few months later, I relapsed. More carnage, more heroin, more crack, more thinking I'm a gangster, going out with scousers and all that sort of stuff, thinking I'm a boy. Then I ended up in hospital. I nearly lost my leg. I injected it into my groin. It's not good at the time, but, you know, the high price for the low life. So it was while in hospital I did a lot of thinking. Thinking back to my times being clean. Thinking back to how I tasted a life free for the slavery of drugs. And questioning my relationship with Christ. There is a level of freedom that we're meant to come into, and it's a growing freedom. Knowing Christ doesn't necessarily mean you're totally free. It means you're free to pursue freedom. It's like being set free from prison and not being free on the inside. And the toughest prison to break from is the one in our minds. How can you say you are totally free if you're still holding on to bitterness? How can you say you're totally free if you're still holding on to jealousy? How can you say you're totally free if you're still holding on to your past? How can you say you're totally free if you're still holding on to unforgiveness? I wasn't freed from those things. And I wasn't free from my addiction. So, back to Teen Challenge again. Hello. So back to Teen Challenge over 2 years ago. And this time, I was serious about my recovery. I was serious about being a father and at the center of it all, getting right with God. Getting clean was only scratching the surface. This time, I had to go deep with God and face my giants. And deal with the situation with my oldest daughter. I hadn't seen or heard from my oldest daughter in 11 years. And my oldest son, I'd only heard from him a couple of times during that 11 years. After Teen Challenge, God made a way for me to go down to the Teen Challenge Leadership Academy. That was down in Nottingham, where I got to know God on a whole new level. I mean, God was on the move, taking me out of my comfort zone and my walk with him, learning about myself and learning how to lead my own life. Now we're in April last year, and a series of events are about to take place. April last year, down in Nottingham, and one of the support workers from Sunny Bray, Martin Duthie, messages me. What's your oldest daughter's name again? I said, Natasha, why? He said he had seen her at the maternity hospital in Aberdeen. Well, this brought everything to the surface. And looking back, it was the Holy Spirit bringing this to the forefront of my mind to prompt me to start to deal with my giant. On July the 11th last year, I was given the opportunity to meet with an Irishman by the name of Brian Sinnott. He was a theotherapist, God therapy. I told him about the things I needed to deal with and the situation with my oldest daughter. So he asked, Billy, do you want to meet your daughter? Aye. He says, close your eyes and imagine she's standing there in front of you. Describe what she looks like. What's the color of her eyes? Talk to her. It was really uncomfortable, to say the least. And so I did. I talked to her. I says, hey, Natasha, it's Dad. I hope you're well. I've really missed you. I love you. Brian then said, Billy, the Lord wants ownership of your relationship and situation with your daughter. Stop holding on it. So I prayed and I spoke to God. I says, God, I hand this situation over to you. And I trust that you'll work through it and I'll see the fruits of this situation. I remember coming out of that room feeling so much lighter. I had left this burden at the cross. It was in God's hands now. On July 9th last year, I was standing in a scrapyard of all places, just outside Nottingham, with a friend of mine, Neil Mann. He was selling his car for scrap, and I was hanging around to give him a lift back. So as I was waiting around, I got a notification on my Facebook. Natasha likes your photo. God makes the impossible become possible, become real. I was standing in awe, totally blown away by what was happening and how the game had changed in my life right in that moment. How can you deny the power of God in a situation like that? Taking that step, dealing with the pain. God works in the dark. God works in the wilderness. God works in a scrapyard. Hallelujah. I left it a couple of hours, probably because of the state I was in. And then I messaged her. I said exactly what I said to her in that game-changing meeting with God and Brian Sinnott. She messaged back 20 minutes later. Hi, Dad. I've really missed you. I'm a mum of two daughters now. I love you. We messaged back and forth for a week or so, and soon I found myself down in Bournemouth. I was given the opportunity to volunteer on an activities weekend with the Phase 3 guys on the Teen Challenge program down there. We were staying in a YMCA house just 2 minutes from Studland Beach on the south coast. And on a Saturday night, we were having a time of worship. And the Holy Spirit was telling me I should go phone Natasha. You've got to remember, we hadn't spoke to each other on the phone up to this point. So, first, I felt I should share something with the guys there to encourage them and encourage you. Darkness comes. In the middle of it, the future looks blank. The temptation to quit is huge. Don't. You are in good company. You will argue with yourself that there is no way forward. But with God, nothing is impossible. He has more ropes and ladders and tunnels out of pits than you can conceive. Wait. Pray without ceasing. Hope, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So I walked down onto the beach, feeling all bulletproof after my time with the Lord and ready to phone my daughter. It was about 10 o'clock at night. And the sun was going down. It was a beautiful night, looking over at the Isle of Wight. And I'll never forget how beautiful it was. So I messaged Natasha and I asked her how she felt about me phoning. And for us hearing each other's voices again. And she was ready for it. I phoned. A young woman answered the phone. Hi, Dad. I couldn't get my head around it. My little daughter was all grown up, and she's a mum, and I'm a granda. We spoke for about an hour. We laughed. We cried. She said, Dad, there's not a day went by that I haven't thought about you, and I'm not going to be manipulated by my mum anymore. Breakthrough. Breakthrough. Now we're in August last year, and God has taken it to another level. I find myself in Duthie Park in Aberdeen meeting her. I'll never forget driving into the car park and getting out of the car, and my heart was beating out my chest. And I remember walking over to the... She was sitting over in the distance in a chair. I was near a lot of people there. And I remember walking over and seeing her, and the feelings I got was just... I'll never feel like that before again. I'm walking over to her and waving awkwardly. I was like, Madean. And, I've never felt a hug like it. God is a game changer. Through this, I have my oldest son back in my life too. And I graduate from the Leadership Academy in Nottingham next month. And both of them was coming down with me. Massive. I just thank God for taking me to that point in my life last year, and what a year it was. But it doesn't finish here. October the 27th last year, and I get a message from an ex-partner who I got pregnant about 10 years ago. I asked her to understand why I've not been there with everything I've been through. You know what? She said she totally understands and was happy for me. And, I thanked her so much for understanding. She said, there's no need to thank me, Billy. Nobody's perfect, and we all need second chances. We will meet up. He's so excited to see you. He's so much like you, Billy. God's grace and forgiveness right there, right in that moment. Tyler, my 10-year-old, who I hadn't seen since the day he was born. I met him just before Christmas last year. But let's go back to the 20th of April, 2017. And I was 1 month into my last Teen Challenge program. And a team from Mattersley Bible College were up visiting. They asked us to write a list of things that you would like God to move in your life. So they gave us each a post-it note to write it down. And here's mine in here. Stuck with my Bible. The 20th of April, 2017. Family restoration. Bridge building. My daughter to have her daddy back. Ideas for a job. New direction. Closer relationship with God. Tick, 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 tick. God has ticked them all. I went down in Nottingham to the Leadership Academy at the start of January last year with only my youngest daughter Sienna in my life, and came back up the road in December last year with both my daughters and both my sons in my life. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. God has restored the years that the swarming locusts have eaten. God has restored the years that the heroin has eaten. God has restored the years that the depression has eaten. God has restored the years that the addiction has eaten. God has restored the years of being an absent father has eaten. God has restored. Praise God. But how could I be totally free when holding on to unforgiveness? Finding it hard to forgive for being accused of such horrific stuff. Matthew 18:21 says, "Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, 'Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times? Jesus answered, "I tell you, not 7 times, 77 times. So why is it we have been forgiven so much so that Christ doesn't want to know our past? But we struggle sometimes to forgive so little. And sitting with a face like fizz because somebody that's done something quite petty to you walks in the room and you're raging like unforgiveness. The whole forgiveness thing for me has been a process. The person who made up these horrific accusations was probably living her life without a care about my situation, and I've allowed it to control my mind, therefore it's controlled my life for the last 11 years. If you can kill the unforgiveness in your life, in your mind, you can kill it in your life. Forgive others because we have been forgiven. And it's there, it's part of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So forgive others, not for their sake, but for yours, so that you can walk free from these situations instead of being a slave to all of them. Be spirit-filled and get on with the rest of your life honoring God. Forgiving others doesn't mean you want a lifelong relationship with them or any relationship at all. Your minds are the most valuable thing you have in your possession. The second most important thing from being born again is controlling your thinking. Your mind is massively important to God. The first and greatest commandment: love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Your thinking has the capacity to crown you or cripple you. Has anybody watched The Great Hack on Netflix? No, just me. Okay. It's about the Facebook scandal. Facebook said it believes that up to 87 million users' data was improperly shared with a company called Cambridge Analytica. Anybody remember that in the news? Aye? Okay, we're getting somewhere now. Cambridge Analytica claims its data and research helped Donald Trump win the US presidency, and it possibly swayed the Leave the EU campaign. Personality questionnaires would pop up on social media, and the data from this was then used in the form of adverts, miraculously confirming users' prejudices, playing on their insecurities, magnifying and warping their worries, and all this time not knowing their private data has been sold and were being personally solicited. So now the undecided voters the could go either ways, the persuadables are now being persuaded to vote in a mind control campaign. Your mind is under siege every single day. There is a great plan to control your thinking. In the course of time, you will become on the outside what you believe on the inside. Know who you are, or anyone can come along and morph you into anything they like. If you are called something for long enough, you'll start to believe it. You are a direct reflection of the company you keep. And whatever or whoever you listen to, you are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Amen. And declare it. You're a child of God. You are a friend of Jesus. You have been justified and redeemed. You will not be condemned by God. The hardening of your mind has been removed in Christ. You have been redeemed and forgiven by the grace of God. And I'm going to close with this. I was in a shower a couple of days ago, and God gave me a picture. I couldn't get out of the shower quick enough to get it written down before I forgot. And it was a picture of a shy kid holding their mum or dad's hand. And you can't ask why kids will go behind trailing with their head down. Ah, shy, timid. The shy kid is your new self. Struggling to make an appearance. Not having the confidence to walk ahead and leave your old self behind. You need to let go of that hand of your old life that's always saying, come on, let's go for a walk. Try to entice you. Try to pull you back into our way of thinking. All that sort of stuff. So I'm just going to end by reading out a scripture. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, 21 through to 32. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. If you're a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good hard work, and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. God, I want to thank you for this time I had to share. I just pray that it spoke to at least one person here today that there's no such a thing as a hopeless situation. God, through your Spirit, through your Word, through your truth, that we come to a place of vibrancy, a place of leaving the pain behind and finding purpose through our pain. Finding out why we go through the things we go through in order to grow. In order to grow as people that are working for your kingdom. So Lord, I bless you and I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.